It's really good to be here. And it was good to hear Sister Dial teach again. She's a great teacher, and of course, Pastor Dial and me were really good friends. And you know, sometimes I'm reminded, you know, the saints, they go on, and one day if the rapture don't happen, you'll go on. But it's the same God. His program goes on. One day we'll all be in heaven together. And the Bible says, Paul said in Ephesians 3:15, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We have a family in heaven. We have one in earth. It's the same family. But one day we're all going to be together. And I have no doubt that heaven is looking down today, because the Bible says we're compassed from so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Stand with me, and I want to read this. And I've been very fortunate. I'll tell you after I read this. But I've been very fortunate. I'll just do it now. That I'm a working preacher. What I mean is, when I first started, I've been preaching 40 years. But when I first started out, I pastored a couple of times, little churches, and it just didn't seem to work out. I couldn't take care of my family, and I just really felt like the Lord was telling me that, you know, it was all right to work a job. But it's been difficult through the years to have a ministry, but thank God I don't think there's a lot of people that can say, "I've had a ministry for 40 years, and I've been working." And sometimes it's been rough, but God has been faithful, and in just about 5 months, I am going to refire, not retire, but refire, and I won't have anything to do but the ministry. So I'm excited about, so remember me in your prayers, because I'm really not sure what the Lord wants me to do, but it's exciting just to think about it. And I'm ready to work for Him, and but it's also good to know that I'm a truck driver, so the longest trip I'm going to have to take is to the mailbox. Can you say can you say hallelujah for that? Now, I plan on doing something, but it's a good feeling to know I'm coming to this part of my life. I'm looking to the next part, looking forward to it. God bless you this morning, folks. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance." Did you know you have an inheritance this morning? Something you never worked for, but it's in heaven waiting for you. It's reserved. "Incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away." It's not corrupted by time or anything else. It's reserved for you, and you're reserved for it. "Reserved in heaven for you." And then it's talking about us who are kept. We are kept by the power of God. Can you say amen? We are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, that is total deliverance, not just getting saved, but healing and everything else, ready to be revealed in the last time. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." You are in depression through many testings. Why? And this is the name of my sermon, "The Trial of Your Faith," verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise, honor, and glory, the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen," Jesus, "ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." That's where that song comes from. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. And Lord, we just thank you for being so, so good to us. Father, many, many places in this world, there wouldn't be cars parked in the parking lot. They probably wouldn't even have a bicycle. We thank you for just blessing us, even though sometimes it's tight, the budget's tight, and all kind of things, Lord. You are a great God, and thank you for supplying all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless your people for the ones that are going through the fiery furnace this morning, I pray that you'd give them a special message that you are with them through their fire, and you're going to bring them out on the other side. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Now, I noticed the trial of your faith, verse 7. I noticed that wouldn't it be nice if we could just float along in life and all the bills were made and we didn't have any arguments with anybody, including those people in our house? Have you ever thought that some of the people in your own house or even in your, anybody got any strange relatives? Yeah, you saw them at Christmas, and we all got a few. We're all different in the church, but the Lord loves us. Amen. He loves us all. But this message is a message about faith. Faith is more important than people think. Faith, I noticed in these verses about the fiery trial was this. Verse 5, three times is the word faith mentioned. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than a gold that perishes. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation, the deliverance of your souls. And I want to put it in three parts. The first part, faith takes, verse 5, verse 7, faith endures, and verse 9, faith wins, because that's how the Lord put it to me. Now, I want to tell you how, just a little bit, if I can convey a little bit how important faith is. In my truck that I drive for a living, I've got a couple verses up on the dash, but one of them has got coffee stains on it, but it's still there. Anybody moves that truck, anybody cleans it, anybody, when I'm off and somebody uses it, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Say that. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that two things, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Faith is so important that there is a chapter in the Bible that is solely dedicated to the subject of faith. It's Hebrews chapter 11, known as the faith chapter, and he rose in that. And in the very first verse defines what faith is, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see faith. It's not part of the five senses. Amen? But faith is the part, it is the bridge that connects the natural world to the supernatural world. You want to operate in the supernatural, you can't do it without faith. Amen? Without faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, I don't know about you, but every time when I'm reading my Bible, if I see a verse in the Bible that is more than one time, it always makes me go, God wants me to know this for a reason. There is a way, example, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Ever read that? That's 14:12, Proverbs. 16:25 is the same verse. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But when it comes to faith, there is a verse about faith. Now, these faith, four times in the Bible, it says, the just shall live by faith. You can't see it. You can't touch it, right? But you can believe it, amen? You believe it without seeing it. Remember, he told Thomas in John 20, verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed, this is us now. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us. And without faith, it's impossible to please our God. Now Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 1:17, because I know some of y'all are taking notes, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38, all verses say a little different, but it's got that phrase in it, the just shall live by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now I want you to look at this verse, first faith takes. 1 Peter 1:5. It says we are kept, we have an inheritance, and we are kept by the power of God. Can you say amen? We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So if you lose your faith, you're not going to feel very saved. Because you're saved by faith. All God asked you to do is, I did it all. I hung on the cross. I'm coming back for you. But all you got to do is believe it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Whosoever, Romans 10:13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Admit you're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10-23. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, admit you're a sinner, ask Jesus to forgive you, come into your heart, you are saved. You're not saved by joining the church. You're saved by joining the kingdom of God. Now, you know what? There is somebody that wants to take away your faith. The thief, John 10:10, coming not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When you go through your trials, the devil will say, how do you know that you're even saved? I mean, maybe God has actually deserted you, and really, how do you know there really is a God? The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that they might have life. And that life is faith. And that they might have it more abundant. You know, remember, somebody got so inspired many, many years ago, they sang a song, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and have it more abundantly, inspired by John 10:10. But when the devil comes to tell you, you don't even know that heaven's there. Well, let me tell you something. Let me show you how I deal with this. Now, some of you men will understand this. Some of you women may. But it's kind of like a fusible link. You know, you just imagine a wire running from the battery of your car to the radio, and you got a fuse between it. And all of a sudden, if that fuse pops, you got no radio. Well, we're kept by the power of God through the fuse, through faith. So keep your fuse burning. Keep a good one in there. Amen. See, his part is done. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And one of the ways I like to think about this is, yes, I know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, I don't walk by sight, I walk by faith. But you know what? Sometimes I feel things. Don't you? Because the Holy Ghost comes upon me. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:10, whosoever believeth on the name of the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And from time to time, I have the witness in myself. I know he's alive because he talks to me. He says things to me. And you know what else I believe? I believe that this is a strange book right here. That's another reason I believe in heaven's real, because I never read a book like that. The Bible says the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Now, I can read that book and say there's none righteous, none at one. He's talking about me, because I know I'm not righteous. You see what I mean? And I know Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, Matthew 24:35, but my word shall not pass away. You know, this is why you can read a verse and you don't go like this. Christians don't do this. They go, well, I read that chapter 2 months ago. I already know everything about that. You don't do that because God's got something else to show you in there today. Because it's alive and you're alive. You have his spirit inside of you. And that's why a preacher can preach the same text, but it's not the same sermon. It's a whole different sermon because there's new life, new ideas breathed into it through the power of the Spirit of God. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40:8. Can you say amen? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalms 119:89. You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. No, it's not exactly like that. God said it, and whether you believe it or not, it's true. His word is forever. So you might as well believe it. Amen. We're kept by the power. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So when the devil tries to steal your faith, there's no salvation. I got the witness in myself. I got the word of God. I got the answers to prayer that he has blessed me with. I'm going to show you a couple verses about that in just a minute. When he tries to steal it from me, he can't steal it from me because God's already, his word has fed me too long. It has given me too much. It's given me as I pray, because he says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, you know how to get wisdom? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when you ask God for faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. And Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you are giving me as I read your word and I seek to obey you. Now I want to tell you something. Sometimes the devil will get you and he'll go like this. He'll go, I got you now. You're depressed, and I know it, and you're going through the fire, and I know it, and I am going to destroy you this time. No, you're not getting a job, and you're not getting a raise. If you got a job, you're not getting a raise, and your son or your daughter is not going to straighten up. I'm going to kill him. Sounds like I hear an old serpent hissing, don't you? The liar. Remember the devil, just remember this. I tell the devil sometimes, what Jesus said in John, remember, you got two fathers. Our Father, which art in heaven, capital F, you got another little F father. Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, talking to some people, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is not even capable of telling the truth. Remember that. When he starts telling you, you don't look good, you know you look good. I kind of. He says, you know you don't look good. You're not what you used to be. You're falling down. You know the boss don't like you. Your neighbors don't like you. And he starts trying to get you depressed. Say, devil, you're a liar. I'm made in the image of God. Where's that mirror? Let me look at myself. Isn't God good? He's good. We got a home in heaven, folks. We got an inheritance that's just waiting for us. We just got to do the job that God left us here to do. Faith takes. Don't let the devil take stuff from you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Put this up, Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit, he describes in Revelation 21 and 22 the beauties, the glories of heaven. Streets of gold, walls of transparent glass. And then he gives the last invitation of the Bible, and he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Take it, it's yours. Been provided by God. You think John the Baptist was a good preacher? Jesus said of men that has been born among women, they hadn't risen to greater than John the Baptist. But listen about John, Matthew 11, 12. From since the time of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It is being subjected to force, and the violent take it by force. Woo! Take everything the devil tries to take from you, the thief, and you're not taking that, you're not taking that. In Jesus' name, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Now look at verse 7. Let the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Woo! You ever thought you was in the fiery furnace? Yeah. and you thought you're not coming out. But let me tell you something. I've been through the fire furnace several times. The devil'll never quit. That's one thing about the devil. But you know what? When I'm going to work in the daytime and I've been going through the fire and I get out in the parking lot, and I start walking through the parking lot and I see a sticker on the back of a car and it says never quit. And I said, thank you, Lord. I take that. Never quit. Never stop. You know, only quitters lose. Amen. See, faith endures. That's what I'm talking about. Matthew 24:13. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. James said in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. I want to tell you, when you go through a fire trial, you're not alone. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, I've never suffered any persecution, then you better check up. Amen? See if you're one of his. But remember, when you go through the fiery trial, you're not alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:6. He'll go with you. Matthew 28:20. He'll go with you even to the end of the world. Yeah, even if, what if I die? Even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23, you don't need to be afraid. For he's with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He'll never leave you. I want to tell you, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3 got into the fiery furnace. Well, I'm going to tell you about that, but let me tell you about something else later, first. Do you like football a little bit? Georgia Bulldogs, right? They're supposed to be playing in Jacksonville, right? Soon, I think. Second? Okay. Good. I'm glad you told me that. I have something to listen to on the radio. But, you know, they got the Florida Gators, the Georgia Bulldogs. They got all these college teams. Some people like college football better than the pros because they don't get paid and there's a lot of excitement. But I like all of it, but I'm not a fanatic, but I do like to watch it. Sports people can inspire you because, see, if you just understand, there's a 100-yard field, ladies, and if this team is just moves the ball 10 yards, they get to keep the ball. Of course, there's people on this side that are determined they ain't going to move that ball. See, it's like you and the devil, you and God against the devil. But if you make those 10 yards, you keep progressing toward the end zone to make a touchdown. Amen. But one time I was watching Texas A&M play. They were playing somebody, and I saw a motto across the back of their stadium, and I got inspired by that motto, and this is what it said, home with the 12th man. Now, you know, I keep up with football somewhat, but I'm not a fanatic, like I said, so I want to make sure first how many men was on the football team. There's 11 men on the football team. So it says home with the 12th man. And I started understanding the fans are the 12th man. The fans are the 12th man. The fans can make a big difference in a game because they can make them miss a kick and not get a field goal. They can start yelling. They got no shirts on. They're painted all different colors. They're screaming and hollering, and man, for their team. And I want to tell you, you're not alone when you go into the fiery furnace because the king said, did not we throw 3 men in there? Bound, and I see 4, and the 4th is like unto the Son of God. The fiery furnace is the home of the 4th man. You will never be as close to God as you are when you're going through the fire if you'll just stick to him and endure. Woo! Just stick to him and endure. He'll become more sweet, more precious, and he'll show you just how to get out of there. Put up James 5:11. This is what James said about Job when he was writing about Job. He said, behold, we count them half. Okay, that's not the King James, but that's okay. Just listen to me because I'm going to do the King James. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Have you ever quit a job and you were sorry you quit it, but you couldn't go back? Have you ever made a decision because you just wouldn't hang in there long enough? Blessed is the man. Listen, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. He's compassionate and full of mercy. Make sure you endure, amen. One of my favorite Bible characters. Well, before I go to him, let me tell you this. Put up Hebrews 12:15. You got to be careful about the fire trial, because you're going to get bitter or you're going to get better. Amen? You know why I don't go to church anymore? There was somebody offended me about 25 years ago, and I just won't darken the door. Well, probably somebody offended you at work. Somebody offended you. Everybody, you know, you're gonna. That's part of life. But if you're really walking with Jesus, I got to tell you this: great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 119:165. So if you get offended, you might better pray and ask the Lord. Maybe you're not going through the trial like you should. Maybe you're not submitting to the trial like you should. I get going in so many different directions, I forget where I was at. But one of the Lord will bring it to me. See, the devil will try to steal things while you're preaching, but the Lord always brings it to your remembrance. Make sure, I know where I'm going now. Hebrews 12:15, you got it up there? Okay. Is that the King James? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, when you go through the fire, there's something about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and just leave that one up there. And this is what always amazed me about them. They came through the fire. The fourth man was with them in the fire. It didn't hurt them, except it burnt. He set them free. Whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. You're moving up to another level in Jesus. And but in Daniel 3:27, Nebuchadnezzar is just beside himself, and he's got all his captains and his leaders out there. They bring those men out, and they look on their bodies, on whom the fire had no power. Can you say hallelujah? Their bodies on whom the fire had no power. And their coats were not changed. Not a hair of their head was singed. And then it says this, Daniel 3:27, the last part. Nor the smell of the fire had passed upon them. We know where there's fire, there's smoke. You ever get in a smoky place? Well, if you let the fire burn you, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. How are they going to be defiled? Because every time a person that gets burnt from a bad experience opens their mouth, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And every time they open their mouth, it comes out, I've been burnt. I've been burnt. I didn't make it through the fire. Philippians 3:13-14 says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You can't go forward till you forget about what's back there. You got to forgive and you got to let it go. Amen. And trust Jesus. Okay? And trust Jesus. Now, put up Malachi 3:2-3. I want you to look at this verse with me. Say this with me. God is changing me. Who may abide in the day of his coming? Now, if you read the context, he's talking about when Jesus comes back at his second coming, how the Jews, and it has to do with the Jews, but I'm going to show you where we fit in. And who shall stand when he appeareth? He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier. He'll purify the nation of Israel, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Now, they were sons of the priesthood, the tribe of the priesthood, Levi. Where do we fit in here? 1 Peter 2:9. But we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so the goldsmith or the silversmith, they put the gold in what they call a crucible. And it's just a container that'll take the heat, and they turn up the heat. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar turned the fire up 7 times hotter. But once all the impurities come to the top, they take it away, and when the goldsmith looks at that gold and he can see his face in it, then he knows it's ready. When Jesus can see him in you. And that is not going to happen till we go home. I hate to tell you this, but the trial of your faith begins from the moment you get saved, and it'll end when you see Jesus. But let me tell you, you'll find that he is, Proverbs 18:24, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll take you right through. Now, I didn't give you this, but put up 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. How are we going to change without the Holy Spirit? He's the one. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Now look what he says. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, listen, are changed. How many like change? I hate change. I'll admit it. I don't mind admitting it, but I do want to keep up with the times enough that people don't know how old I really am. I don't text. I don't have a smartphone. My kids do make fun of me, but it's okay. It's all good fun. I asked my daughter one time, I said, what? I saw in these motels, it says free Wi-Fi. What is Wi-Fi? She just laughed. She said, Dad, it's not Wi-Fi. I said, well, Wi-Fi. What is Wi-Fi? She said, it's not that. It's Wi-Fi. She told me, I don't even remember what it means, but I don't do any of that stuff. I bought my wife a computer, so when I have to have stuff at work, she does it. I don't do it. But I have one in my truck, but there was a good motive for that. I had to keep my job, so I learned how to use that one. But listen, be open to change. I try to be open to change. And God wants to change you. You'll always be changing until you see Jesus. And listen, I want to tell you something. Keep your attitude right. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, and I'm winding it down. But Joseph, no matter what happened. 17, he has these dreams. These people are bowing down to him. His brothers are jealous. They sell him. He went from the pit to the prison to the palace. They sold him. He becomes a slave. He becomes Potiphar's slave, keeping his house up and everything. And Genesis 39, and the first 6 verses, everything Joseph touched, he had every reason to be bitter. But attitude is altitude. Have a good attitude. No matter what, have a good attitude. Don't let the devil get you down. Remember, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Psalms 30, verse 5. And there's about 8 times it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. This slave was a prosperous man. The Lord was with him. And Potiphar didn't worry about anything in his house. Everything he had, he left to Joseph's care. And one day his wife said, that Hebrew you brought in here, he tried to rape me. The truth is, she wanted Joseph because he was a good-looking guy. And he left his coat in her hand and ran out. He was innocent. But they put him into prison. And then when he got into prison, he was so impressive in prison that the guy in charge of the prison said, Joseph, you handle this thing. I'm going to sit down. You just go ahead and handle it. And Joseph, everywhere he went, he prospered. Then you remember the butler and the baker had 2 dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams. And the butler, he says, you're going to be restored to Pharaoh. The baker, you're going to be hung in 3 days. The birds are going to eat your flesh right off your bones. It came to pass. Joseph said, do me a favor. Remember when you get to Pharaoh, to the butler, he said, remember when you get there to just put a word in for me because I do want to get out of this prison. When he got there, he never said a word. But Pharaoh had a dream in the 41st chapter. You know the dream, 3 fat cows, 3 skinny cows, 3 good ears of corn, 3 bad. And there was a famine, and the skinny ones ate the fat ones. There was a famine coming. There'd be 7 years of good and 7 years of bad, so you better lay up in the good. And Joseph, Pharaoh said, can you interpret this dream? None of my preachers, none of my guys can interpret. Can you interpret? And Joseph said, see, he was so humble. He said, it's not in me. I can't do it. But I know a God that'll tell you your dream. He told him his dream. Pharaoh said, can we find a man like this, that is a man that the Spirit of God is in like this guy? See, when the devil, no matter what, not all the demons in hell can stop when it's time to promote you if you'll have the right attitude. So he made him second ruler in the land. Here's my ring. Put this gold necklace on him. Here's my ring. That means he can conduct business for Pharaoh. Put a robe on him. Made him ride in the second. He was only, the only person over him was Pharaoh, and he said nobody will be able to take a step or even move their hand unless you let them do it. You know the story. His brothers and his father came. His brothers he could have hated. They took them all in. After Jacob died, the father died, they thought, oh, Joseph is going to get us now. He's going to get us now. He could have. 50, Genesis verse 19 and 20, he said, fear not. They said, we'll be your slaves. We'll do anything. Joseph said, fear not, for I am in the place of God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good this day to save much people alive. See, God knows Isaiah 46:10, the end from the beginning. He knew there was a famine coming, and he exalted his man at the right time. The fiery furnace, you can be promoted. Let the younger be subject unto the elder. Yea, let every one of you be subject one to another. For God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him. For he careth for you. Isn't God good? Isn't he good? I'm just going to stop the message there. I think it's time to stop. And I want somebody to come up and play. Sister Janine, where are you? There she is. Let's wait before the Lord just a minute. And do you know that if you really believe, you know, our last verse said faith wins, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The verse right above it talks about Jesus, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full. You know why you're going to rejoice with joy unspeakable? Because it's coming. It's coming. And I want to show you, if you're a man of faith, like this guy right here, he's a man of faith, I can tell. If you're a man of faith and a woman of faith, you know what's going to happen to your faith? You can actually see by faith, even though that's not one of the 5 senses. I promise this is the last verse I'm going to put up. Put Hebrews 11, 24 through 27 up. Do you think Moses ever got tired in the wilderness? 2 million people griping, moaning, and groaning. Well, one day, God told him to hit the rock, Exodus 17, 6, out would come water. Later, he told him in Numbers, he said, speak to the rock. Moses was mad at the people. He struck the rock twice. Jesus was only to be spitting once at Calvary, so he ruined the type, and for that he could not enter the promised land. Would you be mad? He wasn't mad. Look what it says. I want to tell you, he trusted the same Christ we did, and I'm going to prove it. Watch this. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He lived in the palace, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. That's Old Testament. Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now notice this last part. For he endured. How did he do it? Faith endures as seeing him who is invisible. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're winners. You know, this is a fixed ball game. It's been rigged, and we win. We do not lose. All you got to do is take by faith what God has prepared for you to endure and receive the end of your faith, even the total deliverance of your souls. Bow with me just a moment. Let's sing this song if we can. To be like Jesus, because he is changing us. To be like Jesus. Sing it with us, folks. Destroy you, or you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or you do, and the devil's trying to destroy you. I want you to, every head bowed, please. Raise your hand, first of all, if there's anybody that fits there. Okay, thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down, those two hands. Okay, I see another one. Anybody else? Prepared a way for you to be a winner. God doesn't have any losers. It may appear you're losing, but remember, you may lose a battle, but you hadn't lost the war. Okay, if you folks that raised your hand, you really meant it, I want you to step out and come down. Everybody keep your head down and pray. I always think this is one thing about God. This is half the battle. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven.